Hello, everybody. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Ann Houston.
Don't go away, folks. Got a good show for you tonight. But before we get into what we've got to do, somebody called me the other day and said that the Freemasons never recruit. Well, that's not true. They're recruiting all over the country as we speak, and I'm holding in my hand a newspaper ad published by the Right Worshipful Grand Lodge of Free and Accepted Masons of Pennsylvania. Advertising. Friend to friend from centuries past through centuries to come. Yes, please provide information on Freemasonry. It has a little coupon here to cut out and send in so that somebody can come knock on your door and take you down to be initiated. So you see, you're wrong. Almost everybody who has ever in history become a Freemason was recruited by somebody, usually a business acquaintance. No, you can't do the show.
I gotta know about drinking water.
Well, everybody knows about drinking water.
Yeah, but they don't know about all the good things that, you know.
And please, just go sit down. Thank you.
Well, you're gonna work with me.
That's okay. You tell me all about it later. Go sit down. Thank you very much. And please, thank you. Boy, what I got to go through here. Everybody's showing up for the conference, and everybody wants to get on this radio program, broadcast, thing, whatever it is. But not tonight. That's for next week. Let me, and I will let Ann on the show. She's been after me all day long. I couldn't believe it. I mean, even when I'm trying to eat 16 plates of ribs down at Katie's Country Kitchen, there's Ann with a rib in her mouth telling me about the benefits of drinking water. And, she had this little bottle she kept wanting me to do something with. Now, I'm going to, before we get into what we're going to do tonight, what we're going to do is let you guys be the stars. Because tell you the truth, this has been a long week, and I'm a little tired. So, I know that all of you think there's no such thing as a world government. I know you think that the United States of America is a sovereign nation. I know you think that if the United Nations calls upon us to commit troops to battle that we can say no. You're wrong. You're wrong about all of the above. You see, we stopped being a sovereign nation long, 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 long time ago, and it was sealed when old Harry Truman signed the United Nations Treaty, and it was ratified by the traitors in the United States Senate, and through an erroneous interpretation of Article 6 of the Constitution, they now claim and have claimed ever since that we are a vassal state of the United Nations. And then the United Nations Charter makes it very clear. Article 42 says, should the Security Council consider that measures provided for in Article 41 would be inadequate or have proved to be inadequate, it may take such action by air, sea, or land forces as may be necessary to maintain or restore international peace and security. Such action may include demonstrations, blockade, and other operations by air, sea, or land forces of members of the United Nations. Well, you say, well, that doesn't commit anything, does it? Nope. But you shouldn't have quit reading, folks. What am I saying that for? There might be three people out there who have ever read any of this, to tell you the truth. Article 43, and I'm just reading you a little bit of the UN Charter, folks. By no means am I going to get into this thing in any depth tonight. I just want to reach up beside, you know, your ear and give you a little tap there. Tap you just hard enough so that you know somebody was there. It says, all members of the United Nations, in order to contribute to the maintenance of international peace and security, undertake to make available to the Security Council, on its call and in accordance with a special agreement or agreements, armed forces, assistance, and facilities, including rights of passage, necessary for the purpose of maintaining international peace and security. Such agreement or agreements shall govern the numbers and types of forces, their degree of readiness and general location, and the nature of the facilities and assistance to be provided. The agreement or agreements shall be negotiated as soon as possible on the initiative of the Security Council. They should be concluded between the Security Council and members, or between the Security Council and groups of members, and shall be subject to ratification by the signatory states in accordance with their respective constitutional processes. Now, you have to remember, this was written, folks, back in 1945. And all of those agreements are done deals years ago, 50 to be exact. Article 44 says, when the Security Council has decided to use force, it shall, before calling upon a member not represented on it to provide armed forces in fulfillment of the obligations assumed under Article 43, invite that member, if the member so desires, to participate in the decisions of the Security Council concerning the employment of contingents of that member's armed forces. It's nice of them to invite somebody that they're fixing to send their armies off to die somewhere, isn't it? Article 45 says, in order to enable the United Nations to take urgent military measures, members shall hold immediately available national air force contingents for combined international enforcement action. The strength and degree of readiness of these contingents and plans for their combined action shall be determined within the limits laid down in the special agreement, or agreements referred to in Article 43, by the Security Council with the assistance of the Military Staff Committee. Now, all of this is shared with all the other member nations of the United Nations. So why do you think that most of these agreements are top secret? Since all of the other nations are privy to them, it certainly isn't to keep the other nations from knowing about it, is it? Not on your life. It's to keep the American people from knowing about it, folks, because if you knew the truth about all of this stuff, you'd know that the United States was history a long, 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 long time ago. That's right. And old slimy lizard Newt knows it. So do all the other people in there. 33rd degree Freemason Bob Dole knows all about it. Yes, sir. And 33rd degree Freemason Harry Truman did it. Right about 1950, the National Security Council promulgated a National Security Council memo, number 68, which to this day is still classified top secret. That's right. except we have a copy of it, have had for years. What it says in there, that the policy of the United States shall be to strengthen the other nations of the world to elevate their economies to the same level as ours and to bring about a new world order. This was done in 1950. And to accomplish all of this, the veil of national security, the National Security Act of 1947 and 1954, and the CIA was created to make all this reality.
Can't happen in America. Bill Cooper's full of crap, right?
You're going to find out, sheeple. And it's not going to be too far in the future that you're going to find out. What do you think this is all about? What do you think the rush is to disarm American people? Why do you think patriotism is being branded terrorism? Weren't you admonished that you were supposed to be patriotic when your sons and daughters were sent off to die in the desert for Kuwait, fighting a country called Iraq, which none of you could pronounce or spell or even knew where it was until that moment? But you patted your sons and daughters on the butt and you sent them off to fight for the Constitution for the United States of America, didn't you? Yeah, but now patriots in this country are standing up to fight for liberty and really preserve and protect the Constitution, protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And now y'all are saying that those guys are terrorists, goons, threats to society. Right? You little old intelligent things, you. A nation, our world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence, and such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. And yes, I'm looking right through this microphone, yes, right at you, and I'm talking directly in your ear. Because you are responsible, each and every one of you out there listening. And those that have the guts to speak up were called un-American. Yep, un-American. Got to support those boys over there dying in the desert for the Constitution of the United States of America. After April Glaspie, on a special mission for the State Department, on orders of the President of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush, gave Saddam, remember Saddam, gave Saddam permission to attack Kuwait. And our CIA and the National Reconnaissance Office, who have the best spy satellites in the world and can monitor the swishes on the tail of a donkey from outer space, didn't see the whole army of Iraq going into Kuwait. Never mind, they've been rehearsing this thing for about 10 years under Operation Bright Star. Bright Star. Yep. The Bright Morning Star. Yes, sir. Under Bright Star. They even published a book published by Arco Press, entitled United States Rapid Deployment Forces, which outlined the entire Gulf War and even named the country that would be attacked by its neighbor. They named in there Kuwait. And guess when that book was published, folks? About 5 years before it happened. And every year, they were sending American forces over there to practice this war. Yep, and you all just patted your sons and daughters on the butt. Just sent them right over there to fight for the Constitution, didn't you? Real patriots, and you hung little flags in your windows and put little yellow ribbons on your trees and your mailboxes. Yep, and then you turned on Andy Griffith.
and you felt real good about yourselves, didn't you? Sorry about that, dummies. And you know what? When they send our boys and our women over there to Bosnia, you're going to do the same thing. Because by and large, you never learn from history. And I've come to realize that most Americans are as stupid as the day is long. Ignorant and apathetic. And frankly, my dear, if Roseanne Barr is on the television, you just don't give a damn. Ain't that the truth? Well, I said I'm going to let you start tonight, so I've had my say. Now you can have yours. The number is 520, and if you can't get through on 520, or you get some silly announcement from the operator saying that number's not in service, use 602. In the process of changing the area codes, Phoenix will remain 602, and the rest of Arizona is going to 520. So, if you're having trouble getting through on 520, dial 602. It's 520-337-2922. 520-337-2922. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill Cooper. Howard from Philadelphia.
Hello, Howard.
Well, from the outskirts of Philadelphia. Listen, I got a couple things to report from on the no-con-con front. I am told that there was a meeting of Governor Leavitt and a few other people, and a number of big business happened to be at this meeting discussing how they can get the ConCon moving again. I think, and as they...
It's dead for this year. What they were discussing is how to make it work next year, and they were taken by surprise, and they're all committing large sums of money to bombard the public with propaganda so that we can't stop it next year.
Well, I must tell you, though, I think that there's still room, though, if they actually put a push through and we were asleep at the switch.
Most state legislatures are adjourned.
Well, yeah, but they'll be coming back after the summer.
That's true, but the meeting is dead for this year. Even if they could get them to push it all through when they come back after the summer, they couldn't possibly have their meeting this year as they had planned. It's got to be for next year.
But then again, next year could be any time. They haven't specified. And, you know, we'll be on top of it as far as on the Internet. We've got people out there that are covering just about every state. There's a question I want to bring up, and I don't know what Arizona's laws are, but this is a question that came up today as far as firearm laws. Pennsylvania's got probably the strongest constitutional amendment to the state constitution, I think, of any state in the union, where it says, and I'll quote, "The right of citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned." And the thought came to me today, and I'm just starting to ask questions. The fact that I have a carry permit means somebody questioned that right. The fact that they don't give that right to, or that they don't observe that right to people who live in the city limits of Philadelphia means that they have questioned that right. Why are we allowing our legislators, and this I guess is a rhetorical question, why are we allowing the legislatures to do this? And when did they do it? When did they start questioning these rights, especially in states like Pennsylvania where it has been so strong and the language has been so strong? I've been screaming and yelling about the two amendments, one to give federal police powers at the state level, and the other that changes our article, our search and seizure article, could mirror that of the federal constitution. And meanwhile, we all go happily along, and nobody's picked up on the fact that in order for our state senate or Congress to do anything in Article 1 would be treason. They are going against an amendment to that constitution that made it forever inviolate. But yet they do it.
That's right.
Well, I guess there's no real answer to that. But
well, there is an answer, but it belongs with the people in your state. In the state of Arizona, it's not an amendment. It's a part of our constitution, and the state is forbidden to prohibit us from carrying arms.
But however, I know that, I don't know if they've passed a concealed carry, but as far as carrying in the open, I know that Arizona has always been an open carry state.
We also have concealed carry.
Okay.
All you have to do is take a little class, and you got it.
But if your constitutional amendment in Arizona
is... It's not an amendment. It's our constitution.
Okay. Well, okay, then I am misspeaking, because when I say an amendment, Article 1, Section 21 of our Constitution expressly says that it shall not be questioned. To me, that means if I walk down with a gun around my neck on a neck chain, no one should stop me and ask me why I have that.
That's correct.
And
if they do, then they're violating your Constitution.
Well, and the thing is that we let them do that every day. And the fact that I went out and got a carry permit just, I guess, is one more nail in the coffin for me saying that, okay, you got me.
You gave up your rights when you got the permit.
Well, listen, I gave up my rights when I signed that first tax return, but that's a whole other speech. I just want people to be aware out there. And
I know, you're letting off steam. That's what you're really doing, because all of this is rhetorical. Because we lost our Constitution a long, long time ago. We are not a sovereign nation anymore. The states are not sovereign anymore. Most of the state constitutions have had the boundaries of the state removed. You have no rights.
Well, let me make one comment on the word sovereign. You know, there's a movement called sovereign state citizenship, and I know that's one of the planks of the Constitution Party. And I have studied it, and I've looked at the laws, and I believe it to be valid. The only thing is that, you know, the fact that I declare myself sovereign and everything hits the fan and they walk up to me with a gun and they say, well, where are your firearms? And I say, well, I'm a sovereign citizen. And they say, well, we don't give a damn. And they come in and they take them anyway by force. You know,
that's right. I've said it before. That's why all these 10th Amendment resolutions don't mean a hill of beans. The government doesn't obey the 10th Amendment now. What makes you think they're going to obey it just because you pass a resolution that has no teeth and no active clause in the law? But anyway, we could talk about this all night. Let's give somebody else a chance to get in here and say what's on their mind. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
520-337-2922. They can do whatever we let them do, and sometime in the history of this country, Americans decided to do nothing, and that's the truth. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Bill. This is Tom from Indiana. Say, I've got a couple of questions for you. One, on the tearing down of the building in Oklahoma, the raising of that, I was reading your article in Veritas, and it was talking about when the militia can be called forth. And it would seem to me, and I could be wrong, but I want your input on this, was the situation where the building was being razed and they've got the destruction of evidence and whatnot, would that be a situation where the militia could have or should have intervened to prevent that building from being razed?
No.
Why not?
Well, if the governor of the state had called upon the militia to do that, and if the property were state property, then the militia could legally and lawfully prevent the federal government from destroying the property. But since the property belonged to the federal government, the militia of the state has no authority nor jurisdiction, nor does the state governor.
So it had to do with
over that property.
So if it was a state building, then it would have been a different story, maybe.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask you was regarding Ted Gunderson. Were you aware of that he had allegedly been given some kind of a restraining order preventing him from talking anymore about this bomb?
Total baloney.
If that's not true, huh?
Total baloney.
Has he made any attempt to contact you?
Yes, we've talked, and what he is proposing is total baloney.
Hmm. Okay.
I've said it before. I've talked to many explosives experts. It flies in the face of common sense, even.
Well, I agree with the blast radius analysis that you described on your radio program. Makes a lot of sense. There's no way that one single bomb could have done that, and it also doesn't make sense that a pineapple-sized device could get enough explosive to do that kind of thing.
Well, it couldn't. You could take the highest explosive that exists in the world, and unless it's a pineapple-sized atomic bomb, no way.
Okay. Well, there was that.
By the way, it started out as a pineapple-sized bomb. Now it's up to the size of an acetylene tank.
Oh, I didn't know they changed.
Story's changing. Also, let me tell you something. Nobody knows what was exploded in Oklahoma City. Not me, not General Parton, not Ted Gunderson, not anybody except the people who did it.
Right.
So, and also, people who participate actively in top secret compartmentalized projects do not come out and leak information, because it's so simple to track where that leak came from, and the next thing they know, they're in jail or in a court of law being tried for treason, or at the very least that could happen to them, and it would happen, they would lose their job and their security clearance forever.
You're referring to the alleged leak that gave Ted Gunderson his information.
That's right.
Right. Well, that's what I thought, and I was just curious because I hadn't heard you comment on him.
I understand. I'm not saying anything bad about Ted Gunderson. I respect Ted Gunderson. He's done an awful lot of good work. He's helped an awful lot of people. He has really been active in trying to reveal things and make things right. But in this instance, he's just flat wrong, in my opinion, and in the opinion of every single expert that I've talked to.
Well, I agree. I've read stuff that Ted Gunderson has written about the satanic cults and the kidnapping of children, and that's why, in my mind, he had any credibility to begin with. And I heard you make the comment initially that you didn't know whether he was deliberately feeding misinformation or whether someone had lied to him. And
well, we will never know, but based upon what he has done in the past, I don't think that he would do it deliberately. I really don't.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. All right, well, thanks, Bill, and we'll be looking for that next issue of Veritas here.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
By the way, folks, we've all been victims of disinformation. Remember, in the beginning, I believed that everything that I'd seen regarding extraterrestrials visiting this planet was real. I didn't believe that the government would lie to me. The government will lie to anybody, and it took me a while to figure that out. And it's very easy for us all to get trapped by these little things, and that's why we have to be so very, very careful. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm tired, and I'm so full of ribs I can't hardly move, and I've been fighting in away from this microphone for the last 30 minutes.
Sounds good. I had two simple questions for you. The first question is, I'm here in Illinois. If I come to visit Arizona, can I carry a gun openly as a citizen of Illinois, or do you have to be an Arizona citizen?
Nobody's ever asked me that before, but nobody runs around asking anybody what their citizenship is here. I've never seen anybody do it.
Okay.
I wear a pistol all the time, as do a lot of other people.
Okay.
I wear mine not because I'm trying to be a big shot or exercise my rights to wear a pistol, but I've had an awful lot of threats against my life, and I would be a fool not to have one within easy reach.
You feel the need for it, and that's your own personal conviction.
That's right.
My second and last question is, I've read Title 10, 311, and 312 of the U.S. Code and agree with it. Now, you said check your state constitution. I checked the Illinois state constitution, and they start out in the military branch under the governor. They say that there's two militias, the organized and unorganized, and then they list the unorganized militia as being, you know, the age and, you know, the males and everything, you know, as they do in the Title 10. And then they go into the National Guard, being the organized militia, but they don't, you know, how it's run and all, you know, all the rules.
The National Guard, no matter what they say in the law, the National Guard is not
a
militia, never can be.
Oh, no, I understand that, but they go in and list the rules and regulations for the organized militia, but then they don't mention anything else in the Constitution about the unorganized militia.
You have to go to your state laws, the statutes. That's where you find it all.
This is in the revised criminal statutes of Illinois.
You keep saying Constitution.
Well, I meant the revised criminal statutes. I'm sorry. But anyway, they list the organized and unorganized militia, and they say the unorganized militia is the males, you know, between a certain age, like they do in Title 10 of the U.S. Code. And then they don't list anything else. They don't list the rules and regulations, or they don't list that you're under the governor or anything. So it's a dead issue from there on, or they don't say anything more about it.
Well, they don't have to. The militia has been so established in the history of this country as the whole of the people that the only way that they'll start listing those things is if they want to do away with that.
Well, they can't, because it's our right.
Well, as long as we're willing to stand up and claim our right. But every time they come and take any other right away, nobody stands up and claims it or protects it. They just roll over and play dead. So what makes you think people are going to protect that right?
Okay. If they don't list in the Illinois, if they say that there is an unorganized militia, but they don't say anything more about it.
In the first place, you can't argue the point because you haven't studied it enough. You need to get every book you can find on the militia, the history of this country, read the Federalist Papers. You have to know this subject in and out before you can stand up to anybody and argue the points of law or the proper place of the militia in the history and traditions of this country and its legality as the whole of the people.
I understand that. I was referring to, as you said, you know, check your state laws and, you know, find out more about it.
I know, but I see supposed militia commanders, people who call themselves generals on Geraldo and what's his name, Commie Donahue and on the Larry King Live and talking to Ted Koppel in a town hall meeting who don't know their butt from a hole in the ground, can't quote the law, or they won't quote the law, or else they're there specifically to Sabbath.
Not a militia member. I wouldn't even speak to the press. They don't deserve me.
Well, they've discredited themselves. Anybody who allows themselves to be filmed by a TV camera today or even be interviewed by any of these lying, puke-faced commie, they're not journalists at all. The definition of journalism is somebody who reports the facts objectively and lets the reader make up their mind. If you don't believe that, look it up in the dictionary. But anyway, I got to let you go.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time. We're brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Folks, they deal in real money. And for those of you out here that don't know what real money is, you need to find out real quick, because you see, what you've got in your pocket is not real money. In fact, it's counterfeit under the law, and those who printed it, according to the law, should be in jail or dead. Because the punishment for the debasement of the coinage of the United States of America is death. Did you know that? It's true. Not only have they debased our coins, you see, the Constitution says, ladies and gentlemen, no state shall tender in payment of debt anything other than gold or silver coin. The Constitution says that Congress, shall coin money. It doesn't say print money, it says coin money. What is money? Well, in the law, the United States Code, the statutes, it defines money. It says money is a specific measurement of silver coin or its equivalent value in gold coin. Did you know that? Well, it's never been changed. They've just convinced the public to accept counterfeit, and they're not even notes. They call themselves Federal Reserve notes, but they're not even notes. Look up the definition of a note under the law, and you'll see what I mean. You see, you can have a note on your house, but a Federal Reserve note is not a note. It's a lie. It's counterfeit. It's a scam, and a big-time scam at that. You know what a dollar is? You see, they say that they're dollars, but they're not even dollars. A dollar is a unit of measurement for money. If you have no money, which is specifically silver coin or the equivalent value in gold coin, then you can have dollars, because the dollar is the unit of measurement for that real money. What you have in your pocket
is nothing but worthless paper. You can't even use it to write on because it's got this ink all over it. You see? It doesn't even have the same value as a blank sheet of paper. At least you can use that for something. You really want to know what these phony counterfeit Federal Reserve notes are worth? They are worth exactly what some fool is willing to give for it. Now, if you'd like to have some real money, because all this is going to come tumbling down, folks, I urge you to call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646. Americans have become ignorant and apathetic. You don't know the simplest things about this country or the law or money or anything else anymore. Now, of course, I'm not talking to all of you because I know that many of you have been listening to this broadcast for a long time and you have been thoroughly educated. And I know that some of you were educated before you ever started listening to this broadcast and you gravitated here because it's the only place you could find the truth. There's a lot of you out there who don't even know what planet you're on. And you don't even know what's going on in your own hometown, in your city government, or even around the block from your house, much less the county, the state, or the federal government. And for most Americans, I'd say 99.9%, you can forget about the rest of the world. You don't know a beans about it. And you can protest and whine and wail and gnash your teeth all you want. It's true. It's true. People from foreign countries look at us and just shake their head. They can't understand how we can be so stupid. If you'd like to have some real money, call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. Get yourself back on track. Stop being a sheeple. Sheeple are led to the pens and sheared, and then eventually they're led to the slaughter. And that's where we're all headed right now, directly to the slaughter. We've already been sheared. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll feel better. You'll sleep better. You'll be glad that you did. That was nice. I didn't even know that was on there. You know, I got a letter today from a woman who said, "Stop calling people names, Bill Cooper. You're losing credibility." Well, I'm not going to stop it, and I'm not losing credibility. Either what I'm telling you is the truth, or it's not. If it's not, turn off your radio and go listen to somebody else, or go to bed, or don't listen to anybody, or do whatever you want to do. Keep being sheeple, get sheared, go to the slaughter, stand on your head, whatever you want to do. I just don't care anymore, period. I'm going to do what I know is right. If I see a cow, I call it a cow. If I see a bird, I call it a bird. If I see a lying Marxist, puke-faced scum person that calls themselves a journalist, that's exactly what I'm going to call them. And I don't care if they like it, and I don't care if you like it. I don't care if anybody likes it. It happens to be the truth. And as long as it's the truth, I'm going to keep on saying it. Good evening. You're on the air.
I am?
Yes, you are.
Hi, Bill. Love the music.
Thank you.
I've got a question about Mark Kornke. But first, I wanted to say that although I love you dearly, I do disagree with your statement about animals being dumb. Generally, unless they've been abused or factory farmed, they know who their enemies are, unlike the sheeple. But Kornke, who had his radio program, I know that you've talked about him. I don't know if everybody out there knows who he is, Mark from Michigan, claiming to be somebody that he was not, according to you, which I believed. and sent that mysterious fax, apparently just before the bomb went off in Oklahoma, to a congressman in Texas. I believe the fax said, first update, building 7 to 10 floors only, law enforcement personnel, BATF, FBI, Oklahoma, I can't remember what else it said, and everybody that maybe even knew Timothy McVeigh, maybe did Play-Doh with him in kindergarten, is under suspicion. But Kornke, who sends this fax out, the feds immediately said, well, geez, boy, we're just not interested, he's not significant. And then, of course, he just disappeared off the air, and I wonder if he is vacationing in Rio or if you have any updates on what happened to him.
I have no idea, but he never was who he said he was. I've warned people for years to stay away from him. He is the only person in Michigan who ever said anything even remotely radical. Instead of pinning all that stuff on him, they tried to demonize the legitimate, legal, and lawful good folks who make up the militia of Michigan. And I believe that they were just washing Kornke. I believe the only reason his name came up and the only reason he was bounced off the air was to wash him. After that fax thing came out, and I think that it sort of gave a few things away there.
Well, that fax, to me, and please...
Also, I hate to interrupt you, but I've got to make this point. There are quite a few people in the state of Florida who will swear that when Mark Kornke, Mark from Michigan, went to Florida to speak there, that Timothy McVeigh was one of his bodyguards. I don't know if that's true or not. I just know that there are enough people who are willing to swear to that I'd have a hard time doubting it.
Yeah, and I don't know what's true yet. We've got so much to learn.
Also, we don't know that McVeigh ever did anything. He hasn't been convicted of anything.
Absolutely, or Nichols.
And as far as I know, except for the fact that he rented a truck and somebody saw him in Oklahoma City, there's no evidence that he did anything.
Well, Bill, I was wondering if somebody like McVeigh actually...
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean by like McVeigh? Nobody even knows what McVeigh is like.
Yeah, you're right.
What they said he was like, we found out was a lie. We sent our people to Kingman, Arizona, and those people in that trailer park said that the description given in the newspapers is not Timothy McVeigh. They said he did not live in trailer number 19, which is just a little bit too close to the 19th of April to anybody to believe that crap. He lived in trailer number 11. They said he was a real nice guy, never gave anybody any problems, didn't make any loud noise, never did they see him shoot any weapons into the desert. He did not drink beer and leave beer cans laying around, and didn't leave an abandoned automobile in front of his trailer. And he was only there 3 months, not the length of time that they were saying he was.
Well, at this point, I don't believe anything, because I know that I don't know anything. All we've gotten is the official propaganda. What I was wondering is if any person who gets sucked into a plot, like an Oswald, when I said like McVeigh, I meant somebody who was a good soldier, someone who followed orders. If somebody like that could be sucked into something where you're told you're going to be part of something important and you're going to rent a ride or truck, and that based on the need to know, meaning that you only know what you're doing and you don't ask about the overall picture, that you could do something like that and end up being duped into being part of this terrible thing while the other people are, in fact, vacationing in Rio or whatever.
That's right. They sucked me in that way. I joined the military because I was a patriotic. I wanted to serve my country. I didn't believe our country could do any wrong, and they told me to go off and kill these people in Vietnam because I had to protect the Constitution, and like a dummy, I went off and did it.
Well, thanks, Bill. If you hear anything about what happened to Kornke, I'd appreciate hearing it.
Well, I have no idea what happened to him, and personally, I've been warning people against him for years and against the militia of Montana, and to affiliate with a legal, proper, good, honest, no BS militia, and I really don't care where he is, to tell you the truth. I've done my job as far as he was concerned.
Well, that's right. And if he sent that fax, by the mere fact that he wasn't who he said he was, he's either a spy or a conspirator. Thanks a lot for your time, Bill.
Or maybe just some guy who wanted to feel important. I don't know. But anybody who says they're one thing and turns out that they're not is somebody that you should stay away from. The number is 520-337-2922. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Yes, you're a hard man to get a hold of.
Yes, I am.
I have a question concerning one of your radio broadcasts, probably I think it was last week, where you were talking about Bill Clinton, and he held a red rose in front of his face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said you were coming out with a book on symbology of the New World Order. Am I not mistaken on that?
No, I did not. I said Jack Sheffer, who writes a column for our newspaper, is.
Okay. Right. And that, am I to assume that that's not in production yet?
I have no idea. I don't know if he's currently writing it or when it will be ready for publication or whatever, but I know it's not anytime soon. I know that.
It'll be a while. Well, I'd be very interested in that. But, concerning secret societies and, which play into the New World Order.
Study the history of the Templars, and you just got it all just about bagged. The Templars, the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, the Order of the Holy Sepulchre, and there's a few others, but they're all really one organization. The Pilgrims.
Would it go back beyond?
Pardon?
Would it go back way past the Templars? I mean, this New World idea is something that's ancient as far as I can see.
Well, it is, but you're really not going to get the gist of it until you get into the Templars, because the farther back you go, the more veiled it is in symbolism.
Okay.
and the more fractured it is, and it took centuries for them to come together. But it basically, it's communism. It is communism.
Right.
The Templars lived under communism. Their whole tenets were communism. Their order was communism. Their rules were communism. Their share of the wealth was communism. They were communists, and they still are communists. And that's who's running this country right now, a bunch of stinking communists. Joseph McCarthy was 100% right.
Yeah, well, that's why they persecuted him and put him to death.
That's exactly right.
Suppose the highest echelons of our government was crowded with communists.
That's right.
Well, another question, the red rose, what does it mean, other than secrecy?
Well, that is one meaning, is secrecy. Another meaning for it is it's the symbol of the soul, which reaches its maturity through suffering. The most famous or well-known depiction of the red rose is displayed upon a cross.
Rose of Cross or the Rosicrucians.
That's correct.
Okay, well, what...
And there are other symbols for it. Is the symbol of international socialism and much, much more.
Okay, well, Clinton holding that up, what symbol was he trying to portray or signal that he was giving to, let's say, the secret societies, or that he was one of theirs, or...
Just identifying himself to those who know.
Okay. All right. Well, I agree with that completely. You're doing a great job. I'll tell you, I just got into shortwave. I've been studying this for about 10 or 15 years, and you're right on the money. From what I found out, and you've expounded on what I believe, and I just can't thank you enough. You're doing a great job.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We don't just expound around here. We document what we say. We've got enough documentation here. If we could find an honest judge in the country, we could hang Washington, D.C.
And a chance of that.
Well, no, there isn't, because there's not a judge in the country who's got the guts, because the minute he started making a ruling on any of this, he'd end up dead the next morning.
Well, I can believe that. What is your scenario for the future? To me, I foresee something. We're going to be in the same boat as like Chechnya and Bosnia. They're going to be coming in here and cleaning up and kicking butt. I don't see any way around this, to tell you the truth.
Well, I always hold out hope that enough people will wake up that it'll scare them and they won't do anything, and we can just by sheer weight of numbers turn everything around, and people won't have to get hurt. And that's what I've always tried to do. I think the biggest task is education, wake people up, get them back into thinking with their own minds instead of blindly following what they're told all their lives. If we could do that, then nobody would ever have to get hurt, and that's I've tried my very best to try to make that happen.
Human nature as it is, didn't Thomas Jefferson say something that people are more willing to suffer slavery than to fight for freedom, something along that line?
Yeah.
Well, these people were pretty well educated in the human nature to a certain extent, I would think.
Mm-hmm. That's why they call this the Great Experiment. You see, before they could ever bring a world into being which controlled every person, they would have to justify it. So knowing human nature, they gave the common man freedom, knowing full well that he would give it back. And when he gives it back, they can legitimately enslave him and say, listen, we gave it to you. You threw it away. You're not worthy. You cannot rule yourselves.
That, well, he pretty much wrapped it up there. I have one more question. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you personally off the air and talk to you, would there be any way somebody could do that?
Yeah, but I wouldn't try it for the next week because we have a lot of people here for this conference. I'm going to be busy as 40 horses pulling the world, and I just mean that figuratively. But after this next week, Annie has pretty much made me promise to take her on a little vacation, and then after that you won't have any problems. I'll be here every day. Except for Monday and Tuesday when we're closed.
Okay, before the show then, right?
Oh, yeah, and don't ever anybody call me within an hour before the show starts.
Or an hour after, right?
Well, you can call me right after, but, you know, I'll answer the phone for a few minutes, and then I've got to get home because my little girl won't go to bed unless I tuck her in, and it's late at night when the show's over.
Keep your priorities straight.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your show.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
520-337-2922 for all you new listeners out there. You know, I like to do these where you guys can call in every once in a while. I don't like to do them all the time because my mission is to impart information to you. So take advantage of this. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, I finally got through. That was only 900 times I dialed.
Good for you. That means you're persistent.
Yeah, you got it. I like talking to you. I've called a few times. You know, sometimes I listen to you, and I don't know whether I should laugh or cry. There's some things that you say that are really, really funny that would probably be funny if they weren't so true. Like the imitations you were doing before, the backwoods hicks just, you know, sending their kids off to Washington. That's funny stuff, but it's sad that it has to be so true, though.
Yeah, it is.
You know, people, I mean, the funny thing is, what I really wanted to call you about is something that that was kind of bothering me. I hear a lot of times when you give the mic over to us and people call you up, and I'm ashamed when people call you up and they find so many stupid little things to disagree with and nitpick about. I mean, if I were to call you every time I disagreed with something you said, then it'd be on the, you know, I mean, it would be ridiculous. The majority, the fact is, we're all fighting. You're supposed to be fighting here on the same side. You know, we're all supposed to be working together, and. You know, I haven't seen anything that you could say that could be factually committed to error or something. The only, you know, I mean, there might be interpretational disagreements, but that doesn't matter. What matters is what binds us all together.
Our matters of opinion. I've always said that you are not required as a listener of this broadcast to agree with anything that I say, but you are required to use your brain, be intelligent, and if you want to call in and disagree, at least present an intelligent argument allow, you know, me to present my side and you present your side. But if you can't present an intelligent argument, I won't even spend a second with you. I'll just hang up the phone and go on about
the business. No, I don't blame you. I mean, you know, and furthermore, I'd like to say that, you know, to anybody out there who's calling up, I mean, it's not so important if you disagree on little tiny things. I mean, the important thing is what we're fighting for here. You know, we're supposed to be working together to restore the Constitution, not play games of point and verse, or you're a Christian and I'm not a Christian, or I'm a Christian and I disagree with the way you are a Christian, or all that kind of garbage. It doesn't make any sense. It really makes no sense to me.
Well, for some people it does. After the show the other night, a woman called me and said that she agrees with what I'm doing, and there's a lot of truth on the show, but if people aren't Christians, they're not citizens. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, this is a Christian nation. And I said, no. And anybody that tries to make it a Christian nation, even though I am a Christian, is going to be facing the end of my gun barrel, because the minute it becomes a Christian nation, anybody who's not a Christian will find themselves tied to a stake with faggots around their feet, and there'll be burnings at the stake, just like the Catholic Church did in Europe when they said, everybody's got to be Catholic or you're a heretic.
Yeah, absolutely right. By the way, I'm halfway through your book, man. Let me tell you something. I'm really impressed with your ability to find, you know, to find truth and ferret it out. I mean, it's I'm really enjoying it, and I'd like to enjoy it more. But again, going back to the same thing before, is it's way entirely too true, you know. And just the books that you recommended me getting, the books on Freemasonry, once I spoke to you about them, and they really, really, it's really interesting stuff. And I have to temper my enthusiasm for reading it sometimes and say, wait a minute, you know, this stuff is killing people. And, you know, I try to enjoy it a little bit less to try and just get to the heart of the matter.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till they drop a test tube full of Ebola virus.
Yeah, that kind of stuff in school right now. I mean, I've spoken to you before. I'm in chiropractic college, and we study all this, you know, all these viruses and all the, and it's amazing. You know, if you wanted to turn to that subject, we're actually destroying our own immunity to these things because the medical profession is giving out all these drugs to try and combat these diseases. And what are they doing? They're genetically mutating, and now they're turning around and killing us. Now you got these flesh-eating streptococcus bacteria, and our own efforts to try and, you know, stop these things are killing us.
Yeah, but you were right. They are streptococcus.
Yeah. You know, and it's amazing that people will not wake up and listen to the truth. And you know what? Even when you present them with fact and truth, they don't want to hear it.
No, because it makes them responsible, and they don't want to be responsible. We're out of time.
All right, listen, thanks, Ed. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, it's that time again. Good night. God bless you all. And this is for Jeffrey down in New Orleans, whom I respect and have grown to like over the last few years.
Oh, yeah. What am I going to do with you?